We're going to learn Hilchas Kriyat Shema, at least begin, and that's Siman Nun Ches. Dine Kriyat Shema U Birchos Seha. And here it's on page 180. Zman Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris, Mishayira Eschavero Harogil Imo Ktsas Berichuk Arba Amas Viyakirenu, which is known as Mishayakir. So we're talking about a time period which is before daybreak, but there's already some light on the horizon. Let's call it reflected light because the sun is about to rise. And if he has a friend that he knows, but he doesn't know him well, you know, if you know someone well, you can recognize him in so many different ways, but he knows him casually and he's able to recognize him. There's enough light out that he can recognize him. And in that case, he can recite Kriyat Shema. That's the earliest time for Kriyat Shema. It would seem that this would even allow him to recite Birchas Kriyat Shema. There are going to be cases in which we're going to allow him to recite Kriyat Shema once without brachos, and then later on during the day a second time with brachos. Here, this is the actual Zman Kriyat Shema, which means we're going to allow him to recite the brachos as well.
Is there a chiluk tefer? Was it the same as Brachat Hashachar, L'Chavin Yom Vein Laila?
Right. It's very similar to the Brach of L'Chavin Ben Yom Vein Laila, correct. But there, you know, it could be that's even an earlier time period. In other words, that's really early when the roosters already can somehow intuitively.
But I thought it sounds similar to the language.
The language is very similar. Now, it's very interesting that in general, when we talk about mitzvah sayom, like for example, Hallel, right? Hallel is the classic case of a mitzvah sayom, or perhaps tzitzis, if you hold Laila Lavzman tzitzis, then yom is much later than Mishayakir. And it depends, and it really depends upon a period of time that's very close to Hanetzach Chama. Here, way before that. And the reason for that is because of Ubikumecha. The Torah doesn't identify the time period for Kriyat Shema as Yom and Laila, but rather as Bishobucha Ubikumecha. And already at this early time period, there are some people, not everyone obviously, who wake up out of their beds. Let's say it's Amud HaShachar, you know, the morning star, and it's already considered Ubikumecha. And the reason for that is because when a certain, shall we say, percentage of the people will get up out of their bed, it's already considered bikumecha. Meaning if I recite Kriyat Shema at that moment, I have a right to say, well, I'm not the only person on the face of the earth who is getting up out of his bed. There are other people as well. The only question I would ask is, when the Mechaber says Zman Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris Mishayiras Chavero, etc., is he talking L'Chatchila? Is he saying that's the time period which, if all things are equal, it's an ideal time period, and I should recite Kriyat Shema? After all, many people are still sleeping in their beds, and perhaps even most people are sleeping in their beds. Okay, you may call it Ubikumecha, but is that enough to encourage me at that moment, if all things are equal, to recite Kriyat Shema? Or is this only a fallback position of the Eved? You know, you won't have time later on to say Kriyat Shema, you know, catching a plane or a train, and now you want to recite at the earliest possible time, then maybe we're going to allow you to, in such a case, to recite Kriyat Shema as early as possible. Now, For example, the third parasha of Kriyat Shema is the parasha of Tzitzis. And in the parasha of Tzitzis, it says, Uri Isam Oso. So therefore, we could say that Mishayakir, when a person can recognize his friend, that's called Uri Isam Oso. There's enough light, even the barest minimum of light, to recognize something. And therefore, Chazal are going to say that there's Mishayakir as far as Tzitzis is concerned, and Mishayakir, the same Mishayakir as far as Kriyat Shema is concerned, and that's the Zman of Kriyat Shema. So let's take a look at the Mishnah Berurah for a minute. He says, "Uberchas kriyat shma lefaneha gam kein ein lomer kodem azman hazeh." But this is azman kriyat shma yishayakir. Before that, we should not be reciting Berchas kriyat shma. Berchas kriyat shma should be connected to kriyat shma. But once we reach this time period of yishayakir, then it's okay to recite kriyat shma in berchoseh. A ragil imo ktsas. Let's say you own a motel and that you have clients that come on occasion. How occasion do they come? Maybe once a year, maybe twice a year, but you recognize them. But they're not so familiar to you. Because if there's someone that you know, he's a regular customer of yours, you know, he comes five times a year to be within your hotel for a week at a time, so you know him quite intimately, then afilu rochak meni makiro, even at a distance, you'll be able to discern. Or on the other extreme, an eino rogil klal, someone that, you know, I met him once in my life, then afilu karev legabe, even if he's, you know, a few feet away from you, you're not going to necessarily recognize him. Oh. But now let's press the return button, because this v'nikbazaz man l'kriyat shma, I think, is a new paragraph, very important paragraph. He says that what does it mean that they were koveya this zman for kriyat shma? He says on the one hand, miktas anoshim kol mitoso, and then, you know, once the morning star appears, some people, I don't know how many, what percentage, some people get up out of bed. And therefore, the Torah would consider that uvekumecha. But take a look at the next three words of the Mishnah Berurah. And here he's giving us a preview of what's coming around the bend. And that is that b'di'eved yotza, lochem b'di'eved yotza. It doesn't mean that since there's the morning star and there's a limited amount of light out, that we should encourage you, l'chatchila, if all things are equal, that's the time you should recite Kriyat Shema. But came into Rubin, she lo kami, but with Amudah Shachar, which is earlier than Mishayakir, so we actually have four periods of time. We have Laila, then we have Amudah Shachar, Mishaol Amudah Shachar, then we have Mishayakir, and then we have Hanetzachama. Now, where is l'chatchila, where is b'di'eved, where is it completely invalid? It all depends. If it's Laila, and it's before Amudah Shachar, it's completely invalid. I mean, that's a great time if you haven't recited Kriyat Shema Shel Arbis, but it's not going to help you for Kriyat Shema Shel Bikumecha. If, on the other hand, it's Mishayakir, then we're going to encourage you, l'chatchila, go ahead and recite Kriyat Shema in Birchoseha. No hesitations, no inhibitions. But in between Laila and Mishayakir, there's a slice of time which is called Mishaol Amudah Shachar. And he says that Mishaol Amudah Shachar, it's a very small percent, a very small slice of the populace that are waking up at that hour. It's enough that b'di'eved we can consider it as if it was Bikumecha, but it's not really Bikumecha. And if you fast forward for a moment without losing your place to Sifdalit, he says, Im Kara'a Mishaol Amudah Shachar, he says, Yotza B'di'evet. So Mishaol Amudah Shachar, which is before Mishayakir, that's not really the best optimum time for Kriyat Shema, B'di'evet Yotze. Because there are a few people who are already in the wake up out of bed mode, and therefore it could be considered Bikumecha. But once we get to Mishayakir, then it's already a period of time which even l'chatchila is appropriate for Kriyat Shema, and as we said before, im birchoseh.
What just occurred to me, and Mishnah Berurah doesn't say this, I'm wondering if anyone says this, that Machaber said, it says, Mishayira et chayvero, I think this is it could be interpreted allegorically that this is Hashem. We're recognizing Hashem.
Okay. Amen. Shiva Maladrush. V'od, he says, "Mitnei shekavu parshas tzitzis b'kriyat shma, d'chsiv bo risam oso, l'ficha kavu chacham zmanu mishiyakir bein tchelus l'lomon, v'hu hazman mishiyakir z'chaver b'richu kar ba'amas." He postulates an equation between Yakir ben Tchelus Lovan and Yakir Schaver Berichu Gdal Anamas. They're both the same. They're identical. And since in the third parasha of Kriyat Shema we require a Isim also, which is Vanshi Yakir ben Tchelus Lovan, that's the perfect time for Kriyat Shema as well. That's the same as Mishiyakir Schaver Berichu Gdal Anamas. Okay, that's as far as the earliest time for Kriyat Shema. When is the latest time for Kriyat Shema? We're talking about Ubekumecha. When is it still considered Bekumecha? Says the Mechaber on the second line, V'nimshach zmana ad sof shalosh sha'os. In a perfect day, which is a 12-hour day, we divide up the day into quarters, and each quarter of the day is made up of 3 hours. When we finish the first quarter of the day, that's called sof shalosh sha'os, that's the latest time for Kriyat Shema. Because even the kings, or the princes, who wake up late, they don't wake up later than 1/4 of the day, meaning the third hour of the day. So it's still considered Bekumecha because, again, as we said before, Bekumecha means a minority of the populace. We already said that Mi'amuda Shachar, it's already considered Bekumecha. And there are late sleepers in the population that will get up as late as the end of the third hour. Now, when you start calculating these 3 hours, what's the kickoff? It means that from the moment of Amud HaShachar, we're going to already calculate 3 hours. So the end of the third hour of the day is not, it's not what you would call, let's say, 10 o'clock in the morning necessarily. It might be a lot earlier because Amud HaShachar, let's just see if this is open. Okay, let's see. When was Amud HaShachar today? So he says that Amud HaShachar today was at 4:50 a.m., 10 minutes before 5. Now calculate, let's round it off at 5 a.m. Let's say Amud HaShachar was at 5 a.m. Now you can add 3 hours, you're at 8 a.m. And that's the latest time for Kriyat Shema. You know, people think that Kriyat Shema keeps going on and on, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, but it's really a lot earlier than that.
But I thought it got later.
Okay, we'll see how late it gets. I'm just giving you an initial spurt of energy here that when we calculate 3 hours of the day and we're starting to calculate that from Amud HaShachar, you're going to be still left with, I got to wake up early kind of thing. But this is the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham has a very early Sof Zman Kriyat Shema. However, Das HaGra Mishas HaNeitz HaChama. So the Gaon Shita is that when we calculate the hours of the day, we do it from HaNeitz. I mean, that's a little bit better because HaNeitz today, for example, is at 6:02. And that would mean that if we add 3 hours, then Sosman Kriyat Shema would be at 9:02. Now, it becomes quite complicated because even in the Gaon, it's not exactly clear how and when you should calculate Haneitz HaChama. And Lamaisa, in the calendar, it says. And in my calendar here, it says that the Sof Zman Kriyat Shema is actually at 9:20. Again, 9:22. There's a discrepancy here of 20 minutes, which has to do with elevations, and it has to do with when exactly is Haneitz HaChama. In any event, we're talking about a difference between 8 o'clock, according to Magen Avraham, and 9 o'clock, or 9:20, according to the Gaon. That's a major chunk of time. That's a real discrepancy. So if you want to be machmir, is then, you're going to have to be machmir for the Magen Avraham. And I know people who are machmir for the Magen Avraham. And even those who follow the Gaon, but they'll l'chatchila, if all things are equal, they'll say, let's try to fit it in before the Sof Zman and the Magen Avraham. all of our calendars would have the two zmanim on it. Shehu revia hayom, it's one quarter of the day. V'en chiluk ben yimos ha-kayitz, shayom aroch, u'ben yimos ha-choref, shayom katsar. Chashvinen hayom l'shtem esrei shos, u'yolim chiluk revia hayom huzman kriyat shema. So again, we're going to divide up the day, whether it's a short day during the winter or a long day during the summer, into 12 parts. Each part is called a shah, and that's called shos manios. And then we're going to say that the shos man kriyat shema always coincides with the revia yom, meaning the end of the first quarter of the day. Now, the end of the first quarter of the day, in the case of the winter months, is going to be a lot earlier than it is in the summer months. And that's because you're dividing up the day, which is a short day, into 12 periods. So the end of revia yom is a very early hour. So we're talking now about 9:20 for Sof Zman Kriyat Shema. In the winter time, it could be much, much earlier. In the case of the winter months, you should grab, you know, the earliest first opportunity that you have, because Hayom Katsar Revias Hayom Katsar, so the one quarter of the day is quite early. Then he says the following: Ube'emes b'mei akayit sarch lizor tfei the derech b'nei olam lamod v'zman echad k'mo b'yimos hachoref yoskar cholaf yomer kriyat shema. He says, I think if I understand correctly, he's saying that people during the summer months are a little bit laid back about it. They get up later and they have to worry about zman kriyat shema. The kol hayom gadol yoseh zman kriyat shema v'mayor lovo tzarch l'gomer kula b'zmana. Now he adds a comment here that the entire Kriyat Shema, all three parshios, and we'll see about the brachas, have to be recited within this zman. Okay. Let's go back to the Mechaber. The Mechaber says, "Umitzun amufcha lekroso kivasikin," that although you have up until the end of the third hour, the ideal zman Kriyat Shema would be vasikin. And the Rama a little bit elaborates on the word, the etymology of vasikin. Pirush talmidim. Rashi pirush anashim anavim umechavavim hamitzvus. Either way, it means we're talking about people who are very meticulous, very devoted to the law, to fulfill God's will, and they want to do it in a way that's ideal. And that's called vasikin. What does vasikin mean? Shahoyu mechavnim lekrosa ma'at kodem aneitzachamo, that they should complete Kriyat Shema with the Neitzachamo. Now we say Kriyat Shema, we mean Kriyat Shema with its brachos. So Gal Yisrael will be recited at the moment of Haneitz, such that he can immediately stand in Shmon Esrei, in Tefillah. So he needs Smichas Gula Tefillah, but he wants the Kriyat Shema to be with Haneitzachamo. Kidei sheyisayim kriyat shema ubirchoseh im haneitzachamo, and immediately after Gal Yisrael, v'yismoch ha-tfilo miyad b'haneitzachamo. So with haneitz, he is reciting Shmon Esrei. And therefore kriyat shema should be as close as possible to haneitz, such that there won't be any hefsek between kriyat shema and tfilo will be at haneitz. So let's say he knows it'll take him 5 minutes to say Kriyat Shema. He should be mechaving that 5 minutes before Haneitz, he's already reciting Kriyat Shema. He completes Kriyat Shema with his brachos at Haneitz, and then he stands tefillah. The mechaber promises him a major reward in the world to come. I was always bothered by this because the Mishnah tells us in Avos that we should not be like an Eved who mishamishes Rabba al-Manas l'kal pras, you know, by, what are you throwing out a carrot over here? You're extending your scharo harbi mode, and therefore you should do what you have to do. You have to do it because you have to do it, not because you want to get rewarded for it. That shouldn't be your motivation. It could be the Mechaber is maybe just telling us how important it is. When he says scharo harbi meod, it's a gili milsa, it's a simon ledover, that it's a very important cue. It's not just an extra embellishment. You know, you could have bought an extra for 150 shekel or 200 shekel. So you only spent 150 shekel. You didn't get the most beautiful ester. Okay, that we'll forgive you for that. But here you're missing an essential part of Kriyat Shema Birchoseh with Tefillah, that's the Kiyum of Vasikin. The Gemara actually derives Vasikin from a pasuk in Tanakh, Yira'ucha im Shemesh Mevakshi Panecha.
It's also written that you can protect it all day.
So all this, I think, is just a gili milsa. It doesn't mean that because of reasons X, Y, and Z, you should be doing the mitzvah. A person puts up a mezuzah, the mezuzah may protect him, but that's not why he puts up the mezuzah. He puts up the mezuzah because he's obligated to do so. And here, this is a major chunk of the chiyuv, the obligation of tefillah, and of Kriyat Shema followed by Tefillah, that it should be recited kivasikin, derived from a pasuk, and that's the way you should do it. If I had to prove to you emotionally or somehow get you on board, you know, to be motivated and try to impress you with the significance and the centrality of this kiyum of Asikin, I'm going to tell you, Schar HaMa'od, you'll have a smile on your face all day, you'll be protected, etc., etc. But that's only to prove to you how important it is in the Richter scale. Okay. Let's fast forward to the Mechaber in Beis. I mean, we're leaving out the Ramon Aleph for a moment. He says, "In lo karo sakodim anetzachav." The best time to recite Kriyat Shema, as we saw, was kivasikin, and that means right before hanetzachav. But you missed it, so forget about vasikin. Is yeshal lahakdim lekrosa bimehera kol ma sheyuchal. First opportunity that you have. This is not a mitzvah that you want to push off. And the Mishnah Berurah invokes the famous principle of Zrizah Makdim LeMitzvos, but he says, for that kiyum, I wouldn't stay home rather than going to synagogue. Ein tzach lispalav v'rzebi yechidi olikros b'lo tefillin. It's very important that we recite Kriyat Shema in the Beis HaKnesses with the tzibur and with tefillin on our heads. But again, you know what? It all depends upon how late you are. You know, if Vasikin, if Hanetz is at 6 and you're now at 7, I understand what the Mishnah Berurah is saying. But if, let's say, Sofos Mayim Kriyat Shema is 9 and it's already 10 minutes before 9, then I would say for sure you should daven b'yechidus, because otherwise you're going to miss Kriyat Shema b'zmana.
Someone oversleeps very late and wakes up, sees the clock. One would start to recite Kriya Shema before Berachat HaTorah. Yes?
I don't know about that. I would say in such a case he should recite Berachat HaTorah first and then Kriya Shema. But what I wanted to point out here, that if the issue is between davening b'tzibur and Zrizah Makdim LeMitzvos, then for sure davening b'tzibur has a greater priority. But if you're talking about Sof Zman Kriyat Shema, then that's not Zrizah Makdim LeMitzvos. You're going to forfeit the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. In such a case, I'm not going to wait for you to get to shul, to put on your tefillin. I'm going to tell you to recite Kriyat Shema immediately. Then the Mishnah Berurah says, "Mikan tochochas megul bnei Ashkenaz ma'achrim me'od Kriyat Shema." And at this point, the Mishnah Berurah puts on a different hat. He's the Baal Musar par excellence, one of the great Talmidim of Rabbi Sol Solanter. And he says to us, "Elmol lo nivra olam el b'shvil kabbalas malchus shemayim dai." Kriyat Shema is essentially Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemaim. The world would be justified, the creation of the world would be justified, even if all there was the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Then he says, V'nochal l'noam l'lishtos ha'tei v'kafei b'boker kodem tefila be'asifas chaverim. Alright, this we'll have to see at great length about drinking before davening. He seems to be opposed to what's called asifas zikenim or asifas chaverim. You know, to get together a whole group. So, you know, in hotels sometimes you go away for Shabbos, the tea room is open before davening. Mm-hmm. Now again, if you're drinking tea alone before davening, that's one thing. But if there's a whole chavura there, and then they add, you know, the kichluch and all the danishes and whatnot. So there's a famous story, I think I told you once, about Rav Moshe Feinstein at an Aguda convention, that it was about 9 o'clock and they were about to start davening in the synagogue, and Rav Moshe was drinking tea and danishes in the tea room, or whatever you want to call it. So he told his Heusbacher to clap off in Tish and make an announcement that the Rosh Yeshiva, meaning Rav Moshe, had already davened. He had davened in the earlier minyan. You know, nobody should be choshed him that he was eating a piece of Danish before davening. Okay. So let's look at the Mechaber number Gimel. Mishu Onus, Kigon Shoya Mashkim, Lotzeis Lederach, Mimokom Gdudei Chayav Listen. So he's out there exposed to real danger, and it's time for Kriyat Shema. Shalu yuchal lamod v'lo lechavin afilu parsha rishona v'afilu ad levavecha al levavecha. What does he do? I mean, you know, Kriyat Shema is meaningless without kavanah. Kavanah is essential to Kriyat Shema. He can't focus when there are animal, you know, wild beasts surrounding him. He says that the entourage is moving at the speed of light. If they're not going to wait for him if he takes his time reciting Kriyat Shema. Lo yamtin lo klal, they won't wait for him for a minute even. Is yachal lekrosa in birchoseh mishaola amuda shachar. Remember we said that this early time called ola amuda shachar is not really the appropriate time for Kriyat Shema L'chatchila. It's not really Bekumecha. There are only a few people who wake up at that early, early hour. But he says in this particular scenario, where he won't be able to have Kavana, so then we're going to allow him to recite Kriyat Shema even with the brachos, as if it were L'chatchila, Misha Ola Amud HaShachar, at that early period of time. It's already considered ubekumecha, because as we said before, there are some people who wake up that early. You can thank God for the creation of light, because there is some minimal amount of light. Again, all this is because he's in the state of an anus. The Mishnah Berurah here in Amud Yud Beis gives you other cases of anus, not just this case where he's out in the road and he's being surrounded by, threatened by animals. Who had did sheish kfuras mes be'ir o mila o yom arava de mashve rachamim the tzarch l'aktivis atzmo. Is he allowed to read Kriyat Shema earlier for other reasons? For example, let's say there's a burial of the dead in the city, and as a result, he'll be so preoccupied with the funeral that he won't be able to say Kriyat Shema at a later time. Can he recite Kriyat Shema earlier? That's also an anus. He's allowed to recite Kriyat Shema earlier. Then he has the case of Mila. You know, if he goes to the Bris Mila, then he won't be able to recite Kriyat Shema in its proper time, because he's too busy with the mitzvah of Mila. Now he has something called Yom Arava Demafshe Berachamim, which I believe is Hoshana Rabbah, if I'm not sure. For that we can look in the Dershu and see if he adds anything to this Mishnah Berurah. And mafshei barachamim, meaning that there are very long tefillos, and he won't be able to fit them all in unless he starts very, very early in the day. And in all these cases, it's an onus situation. And just like the Mishnah, the Mechaber says, in the case of onus, we allow him to read Kriyat Shema. Misha'ol Amud HaShachar, so too in all these other cases, we can allow Amud HaShachar. Mashkin. Pirusha ain't lo pnai lahamtin us akiv adzman mishi yirev. Kigon shitzorch lotzeis lederach vuadin sharin yonim kayotzu bezen she lo pnai. Now, very often he's going out to the road earlier to make sure that he avoids these dangerous possibilities, these threats like animals and so forth and so on. Or he's worried about the people who are taking him from one place to the other. They're in charge of the transportation, and he's going to miss it. You know, they have these bus tours where they let you out of the bus, they give you X number of minutes, and they say you better be back on the bus, and the bus may take off without you. Now, the next bus might be the next day. Who knows how long he's going to have to wait for the next bus. So in such a case, even though it's very, very early, it's Misha'ol Amud HaShachar, but we're missing Mishayakir. Nevertheless, we're going to allow him to recite Kriyat Shema at that early state, at that early moment, which is called Amud HaShachar. Okay. Now, I'm just curious to know, if you take a look at the table of contents here, he's got Hilchos Kriyat Shema from Nun Ches all the way to Pei Ches. Wow, that's 30 simonim. 30 simonim just on Kriyat Shema.
Yeah.
That's like a massive amount. I mean, just the simon that we're doing is like 4 pages long. And there's some simonim that are even longer. Now, the last of these simonim is not so relevant to us today because those are the laws of Balkeri. And, that takon of Balkeri I don't think applies in our day. A lot of what we're going to do here in Hilchos Kriyat Shema has to do with where, in what location are you allowed to recite Kriyat Shema. For example, if you're in bed with your wife, is that an appropriate place for Kriyat Shema? Or for example, your wife's hair is uncovered, or other parts of her body. Or there's tzoa, right? There's feces. Or urine. Then we're going to talk about the law of Merchatz. Merchatz means a bathhouse where people normally expose their bodies. Is that appropriate for Kriyat Shema? And then we have a whole discussion about Birchas Kriyat Shema and about Kavana and whether or not Kavana is absolutely indispensable in the case of Kriyat Shema and in the case of Brachos. All this is included in no less than 30 simonim in Kriyat Shema. It's really a chunk of this sefer. But take a look at Hilchos Tefillah, for example. Wow, Hilchos Tefillah starts with Pei Tes, which is the equivalent of 89. And it goes all the way till Kuf Chav Zayin, 127. So that's 28, let's see, plus 10 is 38 simonim, which means that Hilchos Tefillah is that much longer than Hilchos Kriyat Shema. It's unbelievable how what you have in front of you here is an entire volume of the Mechaber in Orach Chaim, and it's dedicated to so few mitzvahs. In fact, two mitzvahs take up the majority of the simon. Between the two of them, you have close to 70 simonim. That's like wild. Tefillah itself, I remember, particularly complicated. Nuances of questions and issues. Let's look at the Mishnah Berurah number Yudalid here on page 181. Klal, im yirtza likros bi emtza haderech. He wants to read Kriyat Shema while he's on the road. Umari debizman halichosim ashayora ubechol kayotz v'zimshech ad sov zman Kriyat Shema. So he's going to be on this trip, on the journey before, during the time of Kriyat Shema. In other words, he won't be able to complete the journey before the Sof Zman Kriyat Shema. He won't have enough time at the end of the journey to recite Kriyat Shema. Is Yachal, then in such a case, he could read Kriyat Shema with the brachos from the time of Amud HaShachar. The Mishnah Berurah adds here in Novet Hesvav, V'gam yeshlo lispalel bebeso achar Kriyat Shema ubirchosel. In other words, if need be, since he's waking up so early, it's Amud HaShachar, nobody's davening in the shuls at this early hour. You know, the earliest davening is going to be later on at Hanetz. So he should daven at home, meaning he should recite Kriyat Shema immediately, and immediately afterwards recite Shmon Esrei, because he'll get Smichus Gula Tefillah. He has to do it that early, and he's going to have to forfeit Tefillah B'Tzibur. Then the Mishnah writes, V'yaniach Tefillin V'lo Yivarch Aleim Kodesh Yagia Zman. So Amud HaShachar is really not the appropriate time for tefillin, so that he could put on tefillin as early as he can in order to recite Kriyat Shema with tefillin. That's an important piece of the puzzle, that Kriyat Shema has to be recited with tefillin on, if it's all possible. But again, it's before the Zman Kriyat Shema, at least the bracha it's before the Zman tefillin, and therefore the bracha on tefillin should be postponed until he gets to the point of Misha Yakir. V'gam Shapir Mikri Yotzer Or. We saw in the Mechaber that he can recite the bracha of Yotzer Or, which is the first bracha before Kriyat Shema. And that's because even if it's before Misha Yakir, but Amud HaShachar is enough light, sufficient light for Yotzer Or, but the Mishnah Berurah quotes a number of Gedolei HaPoskim, the Magen Avraham, the Prima Gadim. They decide that no, we should not be reciting Yotzer Or before Misha Yakir. It seems that there are other Poskim that seems to have accepted that opinion of Magen Avraham, amongst them the Gra, and therefore, since he's going to have to wait for the bracha of tefillin until Misha Yakir, then likewise he should postpone the bracha of Yotzer or Misha Yakir. Again, I'm a little bit perplexed here in the case where he doesn't have that much time before the journey is on the way. He's got to catch the boat, and he's delaying the recitation of Birchas Tefillin, of Birchas Yotzer Or. I don't know how that works out. Okay, fine. Most of what we're going to see here at the end of Sif Gimel and the beginning of Sif Dal, we've already discussed back in Sif Aleph. Now the Rama adds the following comment here. After the Mechaber says in Dalid, Im Kara'a Misha'ola Amud HaShachar Afal Pisha'aloa Ya'onus Yotze B'Yeved V'im Kara'a Below Brachos Yachzor Likrosa B'Zman Im HaBrachos, which seems obvious. if he recited Kriyat Shema at this very early time, and he was not in a state of onus, then although he fulfilled it's considered bekumecha b'di'eved, but nevertheless, if he left out the brachas, then he should repeat Kriyat Shema at its proper time with brachos. Now we'll look at the Mechaber in Sif Hei, which is on page 182. Im nenas v'lo kara Kriyat Shema arvis ad sha'ol amud ha-shachar. And we said that amud ha-shachar is already bekumecha, but it's still basically nighttime. Most people haven't woken up yet. Can he recite Kriyat Shema shel Arvis at that point? Is Kevin Shadayin lo heinetza chama kor Kriyat Shema v'yotze v'mechobes Kriyat Shema shel Arvis? He could be yotze the Kriyat Shema of u'bishog b'chov Arvis as late as, but not beyond, heinetza chama. V'mehoya onus b'yotze shol lotze s'lederch v'mokom gedu v'chai v'listim lo yikra oz Kriyat Shema pam shenis lotze s'bo yedeichov oz Kriyat Shema shel yom. Can he use this time period of Misha Ola Amud HaShachar up until Hanetz for two different Kriyat Shemas, for two mitzvahs of Kriyat Shema? Can he call it Arvis and at the same time call it Shachris? No, the answer is no. Me'achar she'oso so zman osa shol laila yef shalach so. This is what we call Tarati D'Sasra. He cannot consider the same slice of time as both laila and yom. So that if he's going to use it for Lila to be Yotze Kriyat Shema Shel Arvis, he's going to have to wait until Misha Yakir to recite Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris. Because during this period of time of Amud HaShachar, if he's already determined and established that this period of time is Lila, he can't turn around and now say, well, it's already Bekumecha, it's already appropriate to recite Kriyat Shema Shel Shachris. In the Mishnah Berurah number Chaf Aleph, he writes, "V'yesh cholkem bazeh." He sends you to the Elio Rava, the Bir Agra. There are those who are more lenient, and apparently would allow for reciting both Shel Shachris and Shel Arvis at the same during the same slice of time. Now, the Mechaber says, Lo yikra az kriyat shema pam shenis, says the Mishnah Berurah, afilu achar shehigia zman dukshiyachas chaver berichuk arba amos. That's not the way we understood it. The Mishnah Berurah here doesn't seem to elaborate much on this. He mentions this in the name of the Prima Godim, but he does in the Shaar Tzion quote another opinion of the Minchas Kohen. I'm not sure I understand the Prima Godim, but I think what he's saying is that this period of time from Misha Ola Amud HaShachar until Hanetz is one indivisible period of time. You have to decide one way or the other. Is it Laila and it's B'Shavacha, or is it Yom, it's B'Kumecha? So nowhere within this slice of time that stretches from Amud HaShachar all the way to Hanetz can be overlapped with two different status, the status of Yom and the status of Laila, the status of Shobachov and the status of Kumecha. Now, in Sif Vav, the Mechaber addresses the following: Afal Pishes Mananim Shachat Sof Shashlishes Im Ovra Shashlishes Vlo Kora Koriosa Brachaseh Kol Sharavis Shu Shlisha Yom Vielo Schar Kikori Vizmana. And he says the following, that you can really divide up the time periods into three periods of time. There's up to the end of Shlish, there's up to the end of the fourth hour. When I say Shlish, I mean Shashlishes. There's up to the end of Sharavis. And then there's the rest of the day after Sharavis. And the Nafkamina here is as far as Birchas Kriyat Shema is concerned. The latest time for reading Kriyat Shema b'Birchos Seha is Sharavis Shehu Shlish Hayom, we're going to expand from a quarter of the day, which is 3 hours, to a third of the day, which is 4 hours. And that middle period of time is considered Kriyat Shema, but not Bizmana. Kriyat Shema Bizmana is up until the end of the third hour. When you stretch it and extend it for one extra hour to the end of the fourth hour, that's not called Kriyat Shema Bizmana. But it is Kriyat Shema with Birchas Seha. After the end of the fourth hour, that's Kriyat Shema without Birchas Seha. That's Talmud Torah, shall we call it. So let's look in the Mishnah Berurah. We'll start with Number Chav Dalid. And he says, Afilu Bipshia, when it says here in the Machaber that he hasn't read Kriyat Shema, and the third hour is passed, it means even if he did it Bipshia, we're still going to give him the option of the fourth hour. But then he writes, "V'nira pasha d'masha kasev lo kara'a lav dafka du'a din afilu kara osa kula mikodim bizmana v'lo birchaseha." In other words, he still has the option of reading Kriyat Shema with brachos if he hasn't read Kriyat Shema with brachos. El rabusa nakte d'lo nema kevin d'lo kara'a klal ad ata gor yoser. Maybe if he's so guilty, he hasn't read Kriyat Shema at all. Even without brachos, he hasn't even read Kriyat Shema per se, the three parashios. Until this point, maybe we should penalize him. No, despite that fact, we're going to allow him to recite Kriyat Shema, and even with brachos, up to the end of the fourth hour. And then on the first of the wide lines, he quotes the Mishkanos Yaakov. I think his name was Reisher, if I remember correctly. He says, "Mefaktik bazeh hecha demitchila kares kula." If he already read the entire Kriyat Shema and he left out the brachos, so he read Kriyat Shema Bizman and he fulfilled the entire mitzvah, all three parashios, now to allow him to recite Kriyat Shema a second time with brachos, that's a little bit of a question, a little bit of a problem. Shor revius, the brachos einon shayochos l'Kriyat Shema. In other words, even though he doesn't have Kriyat Shema Bizmano, but nevertheless, the brachos is a separate entity that could be attached to the reading of the parashios as a kiyum of Talmud Torah. So if we go back to the Mechaber for a minute, he says, "Kore osa b'brachoseh kol shor revius v'ein lo schar k'kore bizmano," means that the zman of Kriyat Shema has terminated with the end of the third hour. The fourth hour will give him some kiyum of Kriyat Shema, but not the kiyum of Kriyat Shema Bizmana. Therefore, we would have thought, well, he has to leave out the brachos. But the answer is the brachos are a separate entity, independent of Kriyat Shema. So on the second line of the wide lines, the Mishnah Berurah writes, "The afal pisha nitkinu kodem Kriyat Shema," even though these brachos were established to be read before Kriyat Shema, which would imply they're interwoven and interconnected, interdependent on Kriyat Shema. Mikomakom lav birchas Kriyat Shema. This is not a bracha on Kriyat Shema. A bracha on the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema would require shekin shonu mitzvos of tzimonu. The nusach of these brachas indicate that they are tfilos and they have a status independent of Kriyat Shema unto themselves. And therefore their status is equal to tfilos hashachar. And therefore the zmanim of Birchas Kriyat Shema are equal to the Zmanim of Tefillas HaShachar, which is one third of the day that gives him the extra hour from the third to the fourth hour. And now he's reciting Birchas Kriyat Shema, but he should understand that he's doing such as Tefillah, but not as Kriyat Shema. It's not a bracha on the Kriyat Shema. These brachas are independent of Kriyat Shema. Now, I'm not sure if the Mishnah Berurah is implying that these brachas have no shaychus to Kriyat Shema. That's impossible. That's untenable. There is no other bracha on the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema other than Birchas Kriyat Shema. So it means that the Birchas Kriyat Shema wear two hats, and they fulfill two functions. On the one hand, they are the brachos for Kriyat Shema as a mitzvah, but they are at the same time an independent tefillah, and the nafkamina is going to be from the end of the third hour to the end of the fourth hour, meaning from beyond a quarter of the day to a third of the day. As tefillah is concerned, well, yes, there is tefillah until the end of the third hour, until the end of the shlish hayom, the third of the day, which means the end of the fourth hour. And Birchas Kriyat Shema, so far as its tefillah has that extra hour to it, as far as the function and the role of Birchas Kriyat Shema in the context of Kriyat Shema itself, or as part of the kiyum of Kriyat Shema, like any Birchas HaMitzvah, that would be limited to the end of the third hour, the Reviyah. Now, what happens if Avra Shah Reviyas? He says at this point he can no longer recite Kriyat Shema. And not only that, he forfeits the brachos. Because again, the brachos of Kriyat Shema, insofar as the tefillah, go up to the end of the fourth hour, meaning Shlish Hayom. And the Mishnah Berurah goes a step further and he points out that if he would go ahead and recite Birchas Kriyat Shema after Shah Reviyas, that would be a brachol of Atola. Now we're up to the Mishnah Berurah Chaf Zayin, but for that we should emphasize Korah below Birchaseh Kol Hayom, and he quotes the Levush Yachol Lekros of Akavonahu. What is this Kriya without Brachos? Tov Shikran, and we advise him, we recommend him to read Birchas Kriyat Shema, and it becomes a Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. But that's not a fulfillment of the Mitzvah say of Kriyat Shema, because it's not Bikumecha. Certainly the fourth hour of the day is not Bikumecha. Now what about the third parasha of Kriyat Shema, which is Parashas Tzitzis? And that's the key of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. That doesn't depend upon Bikumecha. That's a mitzvah that applies the entire day. So we have to be mazkir Yitzis Shem once a day until the end of the day, till Shkia. The Torah doesn't establish a Zman for the Zechira. Therefore, Ad Shkia, whose Zman Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim. Which means that there are two dimensions, two kiyumim to the third parsha of Kriyat Shema, and we're talking after the fourth hour. The first kiyum, it would only be appropriate before the fourth hour, or for that matter, before the third hour, insofar as the third bracha, the third parasha of Kriyat Shema, is integrated into the very fabric of Kriyat Shema. The mitzvah of Kriyat Shema terminates with the end of the third hour. After the third hour, he's reading the parashios b'toras Torah. Well, let's say after the fourth hour, because the third hour he still has some sort of kiyum of Kriyat Shema, and Haraya he's going to recite Birchas Kriyat Shema. But certainly after the fourth hour, the Kriya is completely divested, completely stripped of any kiyum of Kriyat Shema, but it's a kiyum of Talmud Torah, general mitzvah Talmud Torah. However, with regard to the third parasha of Kriyat Shema, it's not just Talmud Torah, but it's a kiyum of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, which is a mitzvah that applies the entire day. Let's look at the last se'if in the Shulchan Aruch here. The Mechaber writes in Siv Zayinim, Lo Kra'a Bayom, Yesham Sheesh La Tashlum V'Arvis, that if he didn't fulfill the mitzvah of Ubekumecha, he has what's called a Tashlumin. Now what does that mean? That Tashlumin usually means that, let's say, he missed the Zman Tefillah, he can make up the Tefillah. What does it mean here in the case of Kriyat Shema, Sheesh La Tashlumin, according to this opinion of the Yesh Omrim, which he identifies as the Kolbo? Says the Mishnah Berurah Chaf Ches towards the bottom of page 182, Eina kavana sheyotzi yidei Kriyat Shema me'achas shekvar over zmano v'eino elo kikori b'Torah. So what does this mean, that Ma'ariv is Tashlumin? Well, how could it be Tashlumin? I mean, there's no Tashlum for Kriyat Shema. V'rak shel chatchilu tzorch lashlima kemo tefillah. The alkane mi boile lak dume choves shata bereisha. The takeif achar mayriv yikra od shma bishvil zeh pam shechiser. So after mayriv, he's going to recite another kriyat shma for the kriyat shma the day, the previous day that he missed as tashlumin. So it means that the Mishnah Berurah understands this opinion of the Kolbo as an equation between Tashlumin and Tefillah and Tashlumin and Kriyat Shema, just like this Tashlumin and Tefillah is Tashlumin and Kriyat Shema. And that's a Pella, because the Tashlumin of Tefillah has something to do with Rachmei Ninhu, and perhaps we find Tashlumin in Kodshim. But to say that there's a concept of Tashlumin and Kriyat Shema, I simply don't understand what that's about. At the end, the Mechaber writes, and this is how he the finale of this Simon, Nun Cheses V'yesh Cholkim, which the Mishnah Berurah identifies as the Gra, the Birkei Yosef, there is no such thing as Tashlumin for Kriyat Shema. Okay, then we'll stop here. And Amir Tzashem, next time we'll either we'll continue in Laws of Tzitzis, which you didn't finish up, or here in Hilchos Kriyat Shema, Siman Nuntes, the Bracha of Yotzer Or.